It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
We're continuing in our series on the book that James wrote with this question: what do you know about midlife crisis? You may not have reached this point yet, or you may be in the midst of it. There are a host of factors that contribute to this crisis, and a swarm of different ways in which it is expressed. I think that, at its heart, a midlife crisis is the realization there is more of life gone than is left. Here are two more questions. The first question is, how long is your lifespan going to be? One person used the analogy of a roll of tickets under the counter. Each day a ticket pops up, but you have no idea how many are left on the roll. When will your last ticket pop up? The second question is, how much are you in control of the circumstances and destiny of your life? It is this second question that James is probing. At first, he seems to have some merchants in mind, but his point applies to all of us. Here's what he writes in James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. "Come now," you would say, "today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring." At first, there doesn't seem to be anything wrong with what these people are doing. They have planned the time, today or tomorrow, the place, into such and such a town, the duration, spend a year there, the activity, trade, and the goal, make a profit. This seems like a well-conceived plan. It's not unlike plans you and I make all the time. So what is James's problem? It's not the fact of our planning. It's the presumption behind our planning. Like these merchants, we presume we are in control of the circumstances and destinies of our lives. How like us, and yet we don't even know what will happen tomorrow. James then reinforces his point in chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. "What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that.'" First, James points out the frailty of our lives. Picture the mist rising in the morning, or a puff of smoke coming out of a cabin chimney that is whisked away by a breeze. How much substance does the mist have? How long does the smoke last? James says, that is your life. Second, he uncovers a lack of concern for God in our lives. Instead, you ought to say, James writes, "If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that." The Greek word translated wills for "if the Lord wills" is the Greek word thelo, which is referring to what God wants or desires. Do you intentionally plan by building upon what you discern God wants or desires? Often, despite our professions of belief, many of us tend to live as pragmatic atheists, planning as if God doesn't really exist or isn't concerned. Here's something to reflect upon. What difference would it make to your plans and decisions if you consider how frail life really is and what God actually wants? James next moves to unmasking the dysfunction and fragmentation that planning without God brings to our lives. He lays bare this tacit pride as arrogance in chapter 4, verse 16. He writes, "As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." James is accusing us of arrogance or pretense in our planning. To some degree, whether consciously or unconsciously, we have dismissed our Lord and have elevated ourselves to imagined control in our lives. So what is the way forward towards wholeness? The antidote is stated in one sentence, James 4, verse 17. "So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." In positive terms, what does this mean? At first, this prescription seems to be out of place. It doesn't seem to be linked to what James has been uncovering about us. What is the right thing, or some translations have, the good thing, and how do we do it? The context and structure of this section of James draws us to one conclusion. What is the one right or proper thing that is being omitted? Is it not the will or desire of our God? Bible scholars confirm this. For instance, the commentator Luke Timothy Johnson writes, quote, "One should preface one's endeavors with prayer and place one's project within the will of God." That is the only omission to which the own, the word therefore, could refer, end quote. So how do we intentionally plan to build our plans upon God, what He wants and what He desires? One helpful example of the way forward is provided by George Mueller, who lived in the 1800s. Here are his 6 simple recommendations. 1. It's not your will. Come to the place where you have no will of your own in the matter. 90% of the problem of ascertaining God's will can be found here. 2. Ask God. Ask God in earnest prayer to lead you in His will and keep you from being led astray. 3. Consult the Bible. Seek the will of God in connection with the Word of God. The Word and the Spirit must agree. 4. Circumstances. Take into account providential circumstances. Sometimes these clearly indicate the will of God. 5. Decision. Come to a deliberate conclusion according to the best of your ability and knowledge. 6. Peace. Action. With your mind at peace after several more requests, proceed accordingly. And that's the recommendations of George Mueller. So in moving our plans toward wholeness, make it your first and foundational point to intentionally discern what it is God desires and build your plans on that.
You've been listening to John B. MacDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. MacDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at hopestreamradio.com.